Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The East Coast is bracing. A slow-moving nor'easter plowing up the coast. Millions in the path of powerful wind gusts, surging surf, and torrential rain. ABC's Morgan Norwood is in Asbury Park along the Jersey Shore.
Here in the Northeast, New Jersey's governor has declared a state of emergency covering all 21 counties, with officials urging residents to prepare for this. This heavy rain, strong winds, and potential coastal flooding from now through the end of Monday.
In the Middle East, the release of the final hostages held by Hamas expected to start tonight. The U.S. believes 20 hostages are still alive. President Trump on Air Force One traveling to Tel Aviv saying, quote, the war is over. Trump also with a warning to Russia, telling the press pool on the plane he's considering sending Ukraine long-range Tomahawk missiles if Moscow doesn't settle the war soon. In St. Helena Island, South Carolina, authorities say at least four people killed, 16 injured in a Saturday night bar shooting. This is ABC News. It's day 11 of the government shutdown, and President Trump is directing Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to use, quote, all available funds to pay military personnel on October 15th. A spokesperson for the Office of Budget and Management says the funds Trump identified are from research and development money from the Department of War that's available for 2 years. Vice President J.D. Vance on ABC's This Week Today, asked by George Stephanopoulos about the FBI surveillance audio recording of now White House Border Czar Tom Homan accepting $50,000 of cash last year in a paper bag. Vance refusing to answer whether Homan kept the money, later saying,
I don't know what tape you're referring to, George. I saw media reports that Tom Homan accepted a bribe. There's no evidence of that.
The allegations stem from an undercover FBI sting in September of 2024. Homan allegedly agreeing to help them secure government contracts if Trump won the presidential election. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1 in Game 5 to win the Divisional Championship Series. They'll host the Dodgers tomorrow night in Game 1 of the NL Championship. Pat Murphy on the Brewers able to win a playoff series.
After last year, that was the wild card series. We won the division. Mets were hot. They came back and beat us, all right, at the last inning. They were shell-shocked. We were all shell-shocked to see the room then, and I just said, hey, guys, somehow this is going to help us. And what I think it did is galvanize the group. And then, you know, we've been talking about Uke all year long, and it may sound corny to some, but if you lived it the way we did, you know, Uke's presence was here, and they didn't want to let him down.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I'm disappointed. I'm sad. You know, I think this team did a lot to honor the Chicago Cub uniform. What did we do wrong tonight? That's kind of what you guys are stuck on. Why couldn't we get anything going? You know, so it's hard to get past that right now.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain tonight, a low around 49. For Monday, sunshine, highs around 63. On Tuesday, chance of rain and a high around 57. Showers continue into Tuesday night and lows in the low 40s. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high around 60.
It's 64 at our studios.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Mattinair on Air. Jane Mattinair, Greg Bach. Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It is 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday, so Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Good morning, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Always wonderful to join you fine folks here on Mattinair on Air to recombobulate on a Friday.
We'll get recombobulating in just a minute. I did want to hit this real quickly. Todd, this afternoon on the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4, in the 3 o'clock hour, he is going to be giving away VIP tickets for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Mm-hmm. So this is the story of dedicated Japanese Packer fans who fulfill their dream of experiencing Lambeau Field. The film is going to premiere next week at the Majestic in Waukesha. We did have listener Sally texted in with some questions about this. If you want to find out more about getting tickets for this No Packers, No Life, go to nopackersnolife.com.
Oh, that's easy.
NoPackersNoLife.com. Todd, also, we've been texting back and forth here with a few more details. VIP tickets for the Wednesday premiere are $100 each, and then the film will be opening at Marcus Theaters October 16th with tickets at Marcus Theaters site. So I hope that helps. If you want to go check that out, No Packers, No Life, go to NoPackersNoLife.com. We will include that in our show notes. We'll put that in our show notes. Mm-hmm. And then join Todd today between 3 and 4 o'clock this afternoon when he gives away some of those VIP tickets for that movie. Again, now it's time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Josh Call announcing that he is not going to jump into the governor's race. Were you surprised by this, Dan?
I was a little surprised.
Were
yeah,
you?
I think things had been kind of trending this direction. So I wasn't, surprised in the moment, I suppose. But I think big picture, you zoom out, a little bit here. And I think Josh Call had been making it no secret that he wanted to run for something. There was a long piece in the Cap Times a couple years back where he was talking about his aspirations to potentially run for governor. But I think as things have shifted in this race, and I think with the Trump administration and all the legal threats that are present because of it, I think maybe there's a recognition there that we need a strong Democratic candidate for attorney general in this era where a lot of rights states' rights, you know, in particular, mm-hmm. as we're seeing right now in Chicago and Illinois, yeah. are under threat from the Trump administration. So I think it is going to be, you know, increasingly important to have somebody there who has the strong legal background and the incumbent factor in from the election standpoint, but also just, you know, some stability there in the AG's office. But I think it does kind of, you know, have a pretty significant impact on the overall governor's race. On the Democratic side, because I wrote this, you know, kind of too early preview at the recombobulation area a couple months ago and talked about how if Josh Call were to run, he would probably walk into the race as the front runner, maybe not an overwhelming one, but you win two statewide races in Wisconsin, you're probably going to be at the top of the list, sure. for a primary. Now, I know there's, you know, some things that people might not like about Josh Call. Would he really emerge from the primary as the front runner? You know, we don't have to ask those questions anymore because that's not what he's going to be doing. But I do think it, you know, it does significantly change the makeup of the primary. And I thought he would be among the top tier of candidates. And I had some people telling me they thought, you know, he would be the one to emerge from a primary. But, you know, I think he's making the right call here in running for re-election for AG.
The right Josh Call.
One call. That's all.
I don't want to get sued. Don't do that. Not here. Not now. And this is all. Politics is all speculation. But do you feel, Dan, that a run for governor would have been more, I don't know, better accepted, or I don't know how to. I'm trying to put. So it feels like Josh Call has kind of come out of the woodwork in the past like 9 months. He's really gotten in the news, talking about these lawsuits, as you mentioned, really putting his name out there. People are seeing. He is Josh Call, the AG. It's not just the AG of Wisconsin. He's got there's a name to the title. And that's all very important, especially if you're seeking higher office. I know one of the big sticking points for individuals, yourself, Jane, every time his name was brought up, you just were like, ugh, was the fact that he did not pursue any prosecution of the fake electors in 2020. I think that hurt his chances with a lot of Democrats, especially ones who leaned even more liberal. And do you think that had he done that sooner, because he did do it, they have done it finally, we're the last state, had he done it sooner and made a little bit more of a name himself, maybe over the past 2 years, there'd be more power towards his campaign? Because I feel like it would have been too little too late at this point to make an announcement, especially in the face of all these other candidates who are just kind of kicking in the door with their platforms.
Yeah, I do think that would have been a factor. Yeah. I do think if he had been more aggressive in going yes. after the fake electors, I think he would have, one, raised his profile, mm-hmm. because I think it would have been especially newsworthy. But I think also it would have endeared himself to a lot of Democratic voters who really wanted to see accountability after yeah. January 6th, really wanted to see accountability after the fake electors, really wanted to see accountability for so many in Wisconsin who tried to overturn the results of the presidential election yep. in the state. And I think we saw it nationally too, mm-hmm. with the, you know, the Attorney General Merrick Garland. And I think the lack of urgency mm-hmm. towards that accountability was a problem for a lot of people. And I think, you know, we've talked about it on this show. I think Todd has talked about it on his show as well. I think the lack of urgency there is going to be a problem for another number of people. And I think in a crowded primary, that might be enough to push certain voters to other candidates.
Well, and I just think that I think Kelda Royes and Sarah Rodriguez are really strong, and Missy Hughes as well. I think they're all really strong candidates.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I do think it's a strong bench, and mm-hmm. and it's a strong group of candidates, and David Crowley and Francesca Hong. And like, I think there's a lot of really important conversations to be had. I think the one big question now looming over the potential primary field is, what is Mandela Barnes going to do? And I think that has been kind of the conversation for what the next big chip, you know, now that the Call decision, now that Josh Call has made his decision. So now we're asking the question, no call, that's all. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow. Well, guys, that's been a fun show. Inevitable. We're canceled now. We're done.
It was inevitable. Well, it just kind of laid itself out there for you.
And that really leads us into the next part of this conversation, which was, you talk about your too early article on the election. I feel like a too early poll came out this week from a group that is one Democrat, one Republican, both pollsters, that gave some, I'm just going to say it. They gave nothing numbers. It was not there was nothing. The only thing that really gave us conversation was the fact that there are more people undecided on both sides than either of the front runners of either side. And both had like percentages of none. And most of the people they were talking about haven't announced or won't announce. So it just felt like a way of grabbing headlines and the big takeaway quote, the big quote takeaway is Mandela Barnes is leading the Democrats with 16%.
Yeah. I don't think that I didn't really take much away from the Democratic side of that poll.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is a crowded field. They all have, varying levels of support. This is way too early to be really having this conversation on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, I did find it somewhat interesting how far in front Tom Tiffany was. Mm-hmm. And they also included, Eric Hovde in that poll and Tim Michaels in that poll and some other folks who are not running. I think the biggest takeaway from that poll was the fact that Josh Shulman was only polling at 4% on the Republican side, even though he has been campaigning since May and all of that. And Tiffany walks in and he's, quadrupled factors beyond that, his support. So I think if anything else, that was a really bad poll for Josh Shulman. Mandela Barnes was, I think it was at 16% and the rest of the Democratic candidates were in single digits, including Josh Call. I just think on name recognition alone, that's probably the type of level of support you're going to see from a candidate who in the very recent past ran a statewide race and got more than 1 million votes.
Dan Schaefer is our guest. If you're just joining Matt Nair on air, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about Josh Call announcing he will not be jumping into the gubernatorial race. Back to Mandela Barnes. I don't think he should run. I don't.
No.
I really don't.
Agreed.
I think he's got name recognition, but I don't know when it comes down to debating. I don't see him running away with it. I don't.
I personally see you have someone like Calderon. I mean, I'm not taking away of any of his time in government, but I feel like as far as people who have been working now.
The nuts and bolts.
Well, the nuts and bolts, but also people working in this day and age in government in Wisconsin, especially Madison, Calderon, Francesca Hong, and David Crowley, too. Like, they come with this real world now experience. And I feel like Mandela, he's a great, great guy. Great representation of like the party and its vision, but I don't think he's a strong candidate for governor. I just don't.
I was somewhat surprised. So I put this question to the fine folks of Twitter.com this week.
to see
what they would think of Mandela Barnes running. So I just simply asked, should Mandela Barnes run for governor? And I was frankly pretty surprised at how overwhelming the no vote was in that poll.
Yeah.
It was majority of people, pretty overwhelming majority of people said no in that poll, that Mandela Barnes should not run again. And I think, when somebody loses a statewide race, as close as that was, I think there's a lot of questions that people ask about that campaign. And I think there's a Barnes 2022 revisited column I think I might write to take a look at, what went well and what didn't in that campaign, because I think, I think in so many ways he overperformed expectations, but also underperformed expectations. It was both overrated and underrated at the same time in a weird way. But I do think that the fact that he ran and lost signals some doubt for a future campaign. And I think we've seen it on the Republican side a number of times in recent years where they have ran somebody who has lost in a different race and it has not worked well. So Tim Michaels ran for Senate in 2004, then ran for governor in 2022. That didn't work out. Brad Schimmel lost in the race for AG in 2018, ran for Wisconsin Supreme Court, didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Dan Kelly running twice after being supported, losing twice. That's Dan Kelly with two L's. It hasn't worked out. So I do think there is somewhat of a trend with Wisconsin voters seeing somebody lose a statewide race and not coming back from it. I mean, look again to the Democratic side, too. Tom Barrett, Russ Feingold.
Yep.
Like, this doesn't really always work out. So I do. There's a lot of tough questions that Mandela Barnes needs to be asking himself right now.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back? Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, and Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. After the 10:30 news, we're going to lighten it up with Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the serious issues of the day, talk about lighter things. Today, we're going to talk about, this is a job I could not do.
Yeah.
We're not talking about you're not physically able to do it. If, let's say you were in perfect physical condition and you could do any job you wanted to do, but you wouldn't do X.
Yeah.
What is that job? What is the job you would not do? Julie from Wausau texted in earlier. We'll save that. But exactly. If you're not going to be able to be with us for the next 20 minutes or so, you can always text it in now at 855-752-4842. Like I said, Dan Schaefer is here. We are recombobulating. We talked a little bit yesterday, Dan, about the suggestion in the city of Milwaukee to install red light cameras as a way to crack down on reckless driving, which is a continuing issue in the city.
It is a continuing issue in the city. Yeah, they actually had a public hearing on this bill for installing or allowing the city to install traffic cameras for red light cameras, basically. And they had this public hearing at the on the Summerfest grounds. They had legislators from around the state brought to Milwaukee to talk about this. This is a bill that has been introduced a number of times over the years, but this is the first time it has actually had a public hearing. So having this public hearing in Milwaukee, having the bill also has bipartisan support. So it is being introduced by State Senator from Milwaukee, Dora Drake. She's been kind of the lead advocate for this for a number of years now. You know, it has Republican support. So the Corey Tomczyk, the head of the committee, the transportation committee in the Senate, was also there at the public hearing. And there is both Democratic and Republican support in both the Senate and the Assembly on this bill. So I do think it has a chance of at least advancing forward through committees, whether it's, you know, makes it through the Senate and the Assembly and to Tony Evers' desk. Obviously, that remains to be seen. But, you know, this is an issue for me. I've kind of gone back and forth on it over the years, where I think, like, obviously Milwaukee has a terrible problem with reckless driving. You know, there are so many issues about Milwaukee that I will go to bat for and say, like, you know, Milwaukee's being unfairly maligned for this or unfairly, you know, treated for that.
Right.
I cannot defend the driving that happens in this city. It is absolutely ridiculous. We have some of the worst driving anywhere in America in the city of Milwaukee. I can't stand it. And I think, you know, there are a number of things with law enforcement when it comes to just kind of like automated enforcement or using technology or facial recognition software or different things like that that I do have real problems with. But I will say for that I think they're run into like certain constitutional problems. But you don't have a constitutional right to drive a car.
No, you don't.
And
no.
So I think this is different. In that sense, where it's just the one thing, you know, you might be running into Fourth Amendment concerns or whatever it might be with talking to people, but you don't have a constitutional right to drive a car. And I do appreciate the focus that Mayor Cavalier Johnson has had since coming into office to install some of these traffic calming measures. I do think they are helping. The data shows it. I think anecdotally, just driving through the city, people are slowing down when there are those traffic calming measures there because they have to. But at the same time, I think we need every tool in the toolbox to fight this reckless driving problem that we have in the city. And some of the statistics that Senator Drake shared at this public hearing are really stark, that more than 1,160 people have suffered fatal or life-changing injuries in speed-related crashes in Milwaukee over the past 5 years. Like, this is just a day-to-day quality of life issue. And I think that this problem has gotten so much worse over the past years, too. The Milwaukee traffic injuries and fatalities in Milwaukee have surged 86% since 2012. I think, you know, more than 70 people died in car crashes in Milwaukee last year. Like, we have to take this seriously. And I think public officials are taking this more seriously. And I think this needs to be another tool in the toolbox. And I think we should pass it.
But it's just part of when we talked about this yesterday, Dan, the folks that were doing this driving, they don't care how many tickets they get. You really think that that's going to stop them? They get a ticket because they blew through another red light. They're going to compile their tickets and keep them in the glove compartment, and they don't care about that. So I understand it's a step. It's an effort to do something, but I don't know that those people will care. That's like, I would like to bring back public shaming and put them in a stockade so we can throw bad fruit at them and tell them they're naughty people. That's not going to work either because they don't care.
For many people, it will not matter. Mm-hmm. You're right. I think for many people, it will not matter. I think it will matter enough for a percentage of the drivers that it's going to make a meaningful difference on people. And I think some people who might, you know, who are maybe otherwise very good drivers and don't want to slip up and make a mistake and might, you know, just run a red light or something. I think it will matter enough to the people who will make a difference for. And I think there are other measures that can come to the people who are just the repeat offenders who don't care. Like you said, there are many of those who clearly do not care and are not going to show up at court or pay their tickets or any of these things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to matter enough to make a difference.
All right. Well, we will continue. We're going to lighten things up when we return. We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk audio sorbet and what job you could not do. What is the job? We'll kick that around coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The East Coast is bracing. A slow-moving nor'easter plowing up the coast. Millions in the path of powerful wind gusts, surging surf and torrential rain. ABC's Morgan Norwood is in Asbury Park along the Jersey Shore.
Here in the Northeast, New Jersey's governor has declared a state of emergency covering all 21 counties, with officials urging residents to prepare for this. This heavy rain, strong winds, and potential coastal flooding from now through the end of Monday.
In the Middle East, the release of the final hostages held by Hamas expected to start tonight. The U.S. believes 20 hostages are still alive. President Trump on Air Force One traveling to Tel Aviv saying, quote, the war is over. Trump also with a warning to Russia, telling the press pool on the plane he's considering sending Ukraine long-range Tomahawk missiles if Moscow doesn't settle the war soon. In St. Helena Island, South Carolina, authorities say at least four people killed, 16 injured in a Saturday night bar shooting. This is ABC News.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1 in Game 5 to win the Divisional Championship Series. They'll host the Dodgers tomorrow night in Game 1 of the NL Championship. Pat Murphy on the Brewers able to win a playoff series.
After last year, that was the wild card series. We won the division. Mets were hot. They came back and beat us, all right, at the last inning. They were shell-shocked. We were all shell-shocked to see the room then, and I just said, hey, guys, somehow this is going to help us. And what I think it did is galvanize the group. And then, you know, we've been talking about Uke all year long, and it may sound corny to some, but if you lived it the way we did, you know, Uke's presence was here, and they didn't want to let him down.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I'm disappointed. I'm sad. You know, I think this team did a lot to honor the Chicago Cub uniform. What did we do wrong tonight? That's kind of what you guys are stuck on. And why couldn't we get anything going? You know, so it's hard to get past that right now.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain tonight, a low around 49. For Monday, sunshine, highs around 63. On Tuesday, chance of rain and a high around 57. Showers continue into Tuesday night and lows in the low 40s. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high around 60. Right now, it's 62.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. And when we went to break, Dan, Greg and I were talking off the air. There is so much to cover that we don't always get around to. We wanted to talk about the ICE raid in Chicago. Something breaking this morning that I think is worth a mention. Pete Hegseth, the Department of Defense Secretary, is proud to announce today we're signing a letter of acceptance to build a Qatari Emery Air Force facility at Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho. So the government's shut down. We have no money. There's no money for health care. There's no money to feed kids. But we're going to build an airbase for the Qatar government? Oh, that's right, because Trump got a free plane. Anyway, these are the things we didn't have time to talk about today. So starting next week, Dan Schaefer is going to join us for an extended period of time so we can kick around all this stuff.
So much recombobulation that must happen. You will be joining us at 9:35 from now on, and we're going to talk about all the news.
All the things.
These segments always go too fast.
Yeah,
so we need more time to recombobulate. And these times are extra discombobulating, so we need extra time to recombobulate.
Exactly.
It's also, too, when we're in this portion of the show, the 10:35 portion, where I want to feel light and fresh and airy, and you start talking about Qatari Air Force bases, I'm like... No, make it stop.
That's why we call this portion of the program...
What's that?
Audio Sorbet.
Nice.
Where, what do we do, Greg Buck?
We clean your ears with fun.
So here is today's Audio Sorbet topic. What job could you not do? We're not talking about physical limitations. Let's say you have all the mental faculties and you have all the physical things you need in order to do anything, but... Even so, you could not do X. What is the job you could not do? 855-752-4842. That is today's audio survey subject. We were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand. We were talking about what some comedians do when they cannot, when they no longer getting booked as much as they used to, and they have to finally find a job.
A job in the real world.
And many of them will go into real estate. It's independent. You're your own boss. And, you know, it's really depends on how much you can. That's the thing is, it really depends on how much you can hustle. If you want to be a successful real estate agent, especially in the beginning, you are working all the time. You're basically on call all the time. If someone wants to see a house, you have to prepare yourself to maybe leave your kid's birthday party because they want to see it now because there's a commission tied to it. And as performative as real estate can be, and it's like, hi, welcome to the house and everything, and, you know, here's the thing, and here's some cookies and blah, blah. I could never do that job. That is not even a job on my, well, if I lost everything today, I could go into this thing. Real estate would never be on the list, ever. I cannot... do that. It just seems And some people are built for it. There are some people out there who are born salespeople.
They love it.
But for me personally, it feels, and I'm sorry if this offends any of our real estate agents are out there, it feels soul-sucking for me personally.
I know folks who love, who love it.
Yes.
And if you like, I love houses. I love old houses. I like getting into other people's houses. So yeah, I would probably like that.
I love entering through the door. I like breaking in through a window. It doesn't matter. As long as I can get in that house. There.
I just want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What is a job you could not do? That's today's audio sorbet subject. Julie from Wausau texting in about an hour ago because she wasn't able to be here. She says, I could not work at a meat processing plant.
Understood.
Thank you to the immigrants who do this work. Excellent point, Julie. Yeah. I worked with someone a number of years ago who worked at a meat processing plant in Arkansas. The stories were, yeah, I couldn't do that either.
Dan, do you have a job or jobs that you're just, it's just.
No way, no how.
It's not on the list. It's not on that side list. Not a, nothing. You're like, nope, cannot never do that job.
So the first thing I thought of when you mentioned this was anybody who has to do a job where they are very high up. I am not great with heights.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned this before.
Yes.
On the show. So I honestly feel like it's the most logical phobia to have is heights.
Oh, a lot of people are afraid of heights. Yep.
Right. So like, you know, those guys who will go way up on tall buildings and clean the windows outside.
Yeah,
absolutely not. No thank
window
you.
Washing.
I could never do that job.
No window washing ever.
I always have so much respect for the people who do that job because it seems I just like in no version of me could I be up hanging there and like scrubbing the windows and all of that. It just seems insane.
Well,
I could never do that.
That's like, have you seen photos from like 1940s and 19 and even earlier from New York City when they were building New York and the guys who worked on those skyscrapers with no safety belts and they're sitting on a strut 50 stories above the ground with their feet over the edge having lunch?
Yeah, insane. No,
that's
thank
why
you.
The kids no, are soft you. These days. Fun, really super duper quick side note. I used to work with a guy whose side hustle was in that in the washing of windows industry, and he would tell me all the time, "Never call me a window washer. I'm a window cleaner." I'm like, Craig, you need to sit down and take your life a little more seriously because that's a ridiculous statement to say out loud to people.
What is the distinction?
I think window washer for him brings up this, like, you know, I just wash windows and if you are in the industry, like, your job is about making sure it's the cleanest, nicest, and there's more than just then the window, there's right. more to it. So I think it's a denigration,
it's a, like, oh, say the yeah. matter of respect,
basically, like it's you think of maybe someone like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins says, I'm gonna wash some windows, you know. So
what job could
I'm sorry,
you,
what was that accent
I'm
again?
I'm going to wash some windows.
What job could you not do? Perhaps accents. 855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer says window washers or tower workers.
Yeah.
You stole my thunder, Greg. And Chris Alfheim from Appleton says septic system pumper.
Okay. All right.
Septic system worker.
I don't want to step in anyone's joy. And I understand that. I don't want to do that either. I don't want to window wash on high building. I don't want to window wash at all. Thank you.
Window clean, Greg.
We will be respected. I see those signs all the time for billboard installers. They're like, now hiring. I'm like, you're always now hiring because no one wants these jobs because scary. But like, are there any non-gross jobs too? Like, I'm like. I understand septic cleaner. I don't want to work in a septic cleaner either. So I don't know. I don't want to put parameters on it. I'm just seeing like what else besides the gross jobs are out there that people don't want to do.
855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says job I could not do is being a mortician. Sorry, Jane. Too creepy for me. I get that, PJ. I get that completely.
Yeah.
It's not like, at least the clients don't complain.
But what's a job you can't do? I don't know, telling jokes?
So for me...
Yeah, I was going to say, what about you, Jane?
I could not be an interior designer. For one thing, is my taste is very questionable. But I wouldn't be able to go into people's homes and not tell them what I actually thought.
But isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No. No. Because I have a friend who's done it for years and years and years, and he was telling me how he goes into people's homes and they have like their wild animal head refuge room.
Yeah.
See, and if I walked into a room where someone had nothing but animal heads, I would be like, you know what we need to do in here? Wallpaper. Over everything.
Over the animal heads? That'd be
yes,
weird.
Yes, over everything. That would probably be my last interior decorating job.
I don't know. To me, like, if I'm hiring an interior decorator or designer, I don't want to disrespect your industry. I kind of want that brutal honesty. I'm paying an expert to walk into my home and tell me what they believe the best vision is for it. I don't want them to ceaselessly make fun of my taste or lack thereof, but I would kind of want someone to walk me like, yeah, I see what you're doing here, but this is what, you know, and I would then feel more confident in their confidence. But I feel like you could absolutely.
If I came in and say, oh my God, this is the ugliest room I have ever seen. We have to throw out everything.
Again, back to my earlier statement about making fun of me. But I'm just saying, like, you walk in and be like, oh, no, we're going to do away with all this.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I think, Jane, your idea sounds like a great SNL sketch, though. Some like the brutally honest interior decorator who comes in and just roasts everybody's
rips
house.
You.
That would be funny. You could play that role well, I think.
I volunteer.
There you go.
Guest host Jane Matinere and the sketch of the brutally honest interior decorator.
You bought that rug?
It'd be funnier than last week's episode.
855-752-4842. What job could you not do? Ronnie from Horicon on WAUK. A job I would not do is work at the DMV.
Yeah.
There are just too many rude and demanding people to the public. And I do want to give a shout out. When my brother passed away a couple of years ago and I had to make numerous trips to the DMV in Waukesha, they were wonderful people.
Yeah.
The workers at the DMV, those guys get a lot of slack or get a lot of crap all the time. I thought they were fabulous. Even considering they have to deal with all of us.
In the customer service vein, Jenny in the live stream said, I would if had to in order to get by, but I would not work customer service in the fast food industry. Customers are terribly obnoxious, rude, and entitled. And that's, you know, honestly, and it said, she also goes on to say, folks making a living in the food industry as well don't get enough credit or pay for what they have to put up with. I absolutely agree. And it's gotten, I feel, even worse in the customer service. I left a job in the past few years because of the customers.
Oh, I believe it.
The pay was fun. I loved my coworkers, but I could not deal with the entitlement in that industry. It was in the beer industry and it was just awful. But I feel personally, you know, there's some like Israel, you have to serve in the army for a couple of years. I feel like every American should have to work at least one Christmas in one store, like a Walmart. I used to say a mall, but who goes to malls?
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to work one Christmas season from October to February. And you will understand.
You'll have a different appreciation.
Yes.
Carol from Waukesha texting and also listening on WAUK. I couldn't do any of the jobs mentioned thus far, but my first thought was nurse. I have the utmost appreciation and respect for them, but I couldn't handle it. I'm too weak in the knees. I'm with you, Carol. I don't do well with leakage. Body leakage.
All right, write that one down too. I love to break into houses. Leakage, no good. All right.
Calvin, anything real quickly? Here's from our resident young person, because you have the dream job you've always wanted right now, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I don't know. I guess the only thing I really thought of was a butcher, not because of... I think it's... I eat meat. I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian, but I don't want it, like, the killing aspect, not to go too dark or sad, but yeah, the actually killing the animals would be
well,
too
the butcher, the food arrives dead.
Okay, well then... The guy that kills the animals.
You don't want to work in an abattoir.
And getting the last word on this, we have Casper, who is from our company. Casper says, shoveling manure, been there, done that, not ever doing it again. That was my first job. I think that kind of says it all.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Dan Schaefer, for joining us for some recombobulation. We will see you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Be well. Enjoy the weekend.
Go Brewers. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. The Flying High Edition. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on Monday, Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman will join us in hour number one. She is doing this now as a regular spot with us on Mondays to give us kind of an update on what happens over the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of things drop late Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's called the Friday News Dump.
Yep.
Hoping that most of us won't notice.
No. And there's no such thing. Yeah. It's news happens
all the time.
Anytime. Yep. All the time. And usually a moment after we get off the air, too.
A lot. Yeah. A lot of it is 11:02.
And Todd gets breaking news.
So join us on Monday. Shelley Pittman will be here in hour number one. In hour number two, we are going to hear from Democrats Abroad UK. Mm. We have talked to them numerous times over the past year. And George King IV.
We didn't make that name up, folks.
No, and I actually, when I confirmed this interview, couple days ago, I had to look at it five times because first I thought it was King George the Fourth. And it's like, oh my God, we're talking to William and Kate's kid? I think he's only 10. No, it is George King the Fourth is the vice chair of Democrats Abroad UK. So there are a lot of people who live overseas, Republicans included, who get to vote.
You kind of get to do that when you're a citizen, no matter where you live in the world.
You do.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to George King on Monday to find out what the view is from on the other side of the pond.
Yeah.
It should be a very interesting discussion. Right now.
Yes.
It is approaching 10:55 Kelvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever stumble on a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E. S-A-Y-S, Jane says, at civicmedia.us. This from that bastion of journalistic integrity, the New York Post. Calvin found this one from Nicole Rosenthal and Zoe Hussein. Headline reads, New York City weed dispensary pledges courier pigeon delivery services, and the twist is ruffling feathers.
It's great.
You like it?
That's great.
Bird-brained marketing campaign, the big... Apple-based cannabis dispensary announcing it will launch a fleet of 20 courier pigeons to deliver gram-sized bags of marijuana to New Yorkers. Unfortunately, the Post learned this is phony.
I'm darn it, because I just wanted to listen in to all the customer service calls that came through when, man, where's my bird?
My pigeon is late, man. We've been waiting for an hour.
Oh, man, it's on my shoulder. Oh, awesome, man.
The travel agency unveiled the winged delivery service set to launch in Manhattan and Brooklyn by next year with a slew of videos that they put out on social media. As the travel agency, it's only natural we'd explore all avenues of travel for our delivery service, including pigeons. Being in New York, we thought there's no better courier than the ever-present and beloved pigeon.
Beloved? I think that's a stretch, my friends. I've seen people get at pigeons.
Viral videos spotlighted the alleged feathery fleet's downtown Brooklyn location, as well as handlers and training protocols. They went all out on this joke.
Yeah.
Essentially, promotional posters put up outside the company's Union Square shop also advertised cannabis carrier pigeons. One viral clip showed pigeons wearing tiny backpacks.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Near a dispensary, appearing to confirm the presence of the working birds. There are several places that jumped on this, including Fox 5 New York.
Mm.
And then they found out, ruh-roh, it was a joke.
But you know what? Somewhere probably in San Francisco, there's a board member at Uber going, hear me out.
Hey, this could work.
Look, AI is big. We love birds. Who doesn't love some weed? We can make this a thing. Uber Eats now, bird style.
And of course now...
Who's mad?
PETA is mad about how the birds were treated during these fake ads that they were shooting. The travel agency says animal welfare was a top priority throughout production of this campaign. Every shot planned in consultation with pigeon handlers and their owners, who advised the director and the crew on the safest approach.
As a former vegan, former vegetarian, lover of animals too, I'm going to say this, which I've been saying even when I was one. You are your worst enemy, PETA. You are so over the top. Shush your faces.
They really, God. They don't help themselves
my
sometimes.
My goodness gracious.
All the pigeons are fine. No pigeons were harmed in the creation of this ad.
Was anyone from PETA harmed besides inside their souls?
No, just inside their souls.
Okay, all right.
And there is no pigeon pot delivery service. Maybe someday.
So, I mean, I can believe.
Maybe one day, but...
Jane, I need something to believe in, okay?
Not now. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Kelvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman takes over. We'll see you on Monday. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump on his way to Tel Aviv, optimistic that the ceasefire in Gaza is now permanent, telling reporters on Air Force One.
War is over. The war is over, okay? You understand that?
The release of the remaining hostages in Gaza could begin as soon as 11 p.m. or midnight Eastern. Also, as part of the ceasefire, we could also see the release of more than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners and detainees being held by Israel. Meanwhile, U.S. troops have started arriving in Israel, where they're establishing a coordination center to support and monitor the ceasefire. A big storm on the East Coast, the Nor'easter, threatening to bring significant coastal flooding to the region for days. States of emergency in New Jersey and New York. Day 11 of the government shutdown, a federal health official saying in the process of laying off